Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Wednesday, April the 25th, and we are less than 24 hours away from the 2018 NFL Draft. On today's show, I will be joined by fellow DolphinsTalk.com blogger and podcast host Tom Ernesty to get his thoughts on tomorrow's draft and talk about some of the players and who he likes and who he does not like. So we will do a final draft preview. There's really not much else to talk about right now. Pretty much all of these teams have gone dark and are really not talking much publicly right now. There's a ton of rumors and a ton of speculation out there, but you really don't know what to believe, because a lot of it is just smoke screens and nonsense. So anybody who is letting you know, they know what's going to happen, even with pick number one. Nobody knows who's going to go pick number one, which is odd, being less than 24 hours away from the draft. So nobody knows nothing, and don't fall for nothing, and don't be naive and thinking, oh, I know somebody who knows somebody who's got this. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows nothing. The only real news out there is that, or at least concerning the Miami Dolphins, is that many people still think Josh Rosen is going to slide. They think he's going to slide far, and by far, meaning, you know, around picks 10 or 11 or 12, he might be on the board. So Miami, if they like Rosen, he might be in play for them. I think everyone who has him slipping in this draft, I think they're nuts. I think he is, in my eyes at least, the best quarterback in this draft, and at worst, the second best quarterback in this draft. Excuse me. And I think any team that lands him is going to be very lucky, and they will be very good in time, because I think he's the real deal. I like him the best out of all four of these guys. I like Mayfield too, but his size does concern me a little, but I like Mayfield. Josh Allen's got the big arm. I'm probably, out of all the guys, I like him the least. I would have him number four. And Sam Darnold, you know, he's right there with Rosen. One's 1 and one's 1A in my book. They're both top of the list, and I think they will both be very good NFL starting quarterbacks. So I was joined by Tom Ernesty on the show tonight, and we broke down all there is to talk about with tomorrow's, or if you're listening to this on Thursday, tonight's draft. Just some housekeeping before we get to Tom. If you haven't been to the website, DolphinsTalk.com, go there now. We have a ton of new content up. I mean, a ton of new content. We have a bunch of articles, mock drafts, rankings of players in the draft. We have two articles up right now on Adam Gase. We have one article that has some thoughts on Devontae Parker. There is so much new content up right now on DolphinsTalk.com. You have to go check it out. Read everything, because we got a bunch of stuff up in the past 24 hours that you will want to read. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk as well, because all day, Thursday and Friday, I will be tweeting out the rumors and speculation and any thoughts I have on what Miami might do in the draft that night. So check that out. And also, Thursday night, after round one is done, I will have a podcast up Thursday night talking about who the Miami Dolphins selected and share some thoughts on that. But enough about that. Let's get to my interview, or my chat. Not so much of an interview. My chat with fellow DolphinsTalk.com blogger Tom Ernesty as we preview Thursday's NFL draft. Tom Ernesty is with me tonight on the podcast. And Tommy, we are just one day away from the NFL draft. And actually, by the time many of you are possibly listening to this, it will be later tonight. So, Tom, how is everything going with you?
Everything's going well. I'm gearing up for 8 p.m. tomorrow night when the frenzy begins of the Browns browning their first pick and not taking Sam Darnold and probably taking Josh Allen. But other than that, I'm excited to see how this draft is going to play out and see what the Dolphins do at 11, if they stay there, if they move up, move down.
I actually think the Browns could really mess this up if they take Saquon Barkley one and then watch the Giants and the Jets take Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, and then you got the Browns at 4 picking somebody they really don't even want at quarterback. That's how they really screw it up, and I would not put it past them for one bit for them to royally mess this up, because if anyone can, it will be the Cleveland Browns to screw up the number one pick of the draft because they get too greedy. So I think that is very possible, actually. But, yeah, let's talk.
They live in a fantasy world like draft day.
Exactly. It would not shock me in the least to watch them screw it up because they will get so greedy with this. So let's talk about the Dolphins. I've talked about this draft ad nauseum this week. Let's get some of your thoughts. First, I guess, let's just start off with the quarterback since that's the hot topic with the Dolphins right now. I guess here's the question, and I'll put it in two parts. A, are you for or are you against taking a quarterback in round one, no matter where you take them, if pick number 11 or if they move up? Are you for taking a quarterback in round one? And if so, would you move up to get one that you like?
I'm 100% for taking a quarterback in round one. It depends on the quarterback that's left. I don't see the Dolphins using any ammunition to move up into the top five to grab somebody, unless really the guy that's there is Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen. Those are the two quarterbacks they're really infatuated with coming into this draft. So with that being said, I'm all on board. If one falls to 11, that's when you kind of open up the phone lines and say, all right, who wants to move up? Because there might be a team like such as the Green Bay Packers are talking about moving up in this draft to draft a defensive stud. So if you got a Minka Fitzpatrick, because they need secondary help, if you got Derwin James sitting right there at 11 and the Dolphins are on the clock, the Packers are going to call. You can pick up maybe a second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick, and maybe something in 2019 to move back three spots, and you're still able to draft potentially somebody that's going to help you in the long run in this draft. But if you got somebody like a Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, I'm calling Denver, and I'm calling the Indianapolis Colts, because it really, everything is going to hinge on what the Bills do. So if the Bills trade up, if they move into two, they're going to give away the entire farm on one Bills drive to move up to two if Josh Allen is the quarterback taken at number one. I can see that completely happening because the Browns will brown. But everything is going to hinge on the Bills. So if the Bills move up and take a quarterback, 1, 2, and 3 are going to be potentially quarterbacks in this draft. That leaves the Browns at 4 taking Barkley or Chubb or selling it to the highest bidder. And now you got the Broncos on the clock who's been posturing for a quarterback. I don't believe they're going to take a quarterback at 5. I believe they're going to take the best player available, which could be Chubb. And that's somebody that Vance Joseph will punch John Elway in the face if he says any other name but Bradley Chubb. So it leaves at 6. The Colts have Luck, but he's not throwing in the spring. So they'll look at quarterback, but I don't think they're going to look at a quarterback that early. They just invested a ton of money in Andrew Luck. 7, the Buccaneers, they're set. 8, the Bears are set. 9, the Niners are set. And 10, the Raiders are set. So at that point, if the Bills move up, and the Broncos don't take a quarterback, there might be a quarterback that falls in your lap unless a team like the Arizona Cardinals move up.
That's the wild card. That's the wild card right there, because they might be the real wild card who will part with the farm, and I mean the farm, to move way up in this draft and leapfrog Miami and the Bills. There's been some rumblings. I know you don't really take anything that's said out there, but there's been some talk that they are willing to part with a lot of picks. And this year's draft and maybe next year's to move up and grab one of these guys. So they are a true wild card that you have to keep your eye on.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Bills are the table setters because they have the most this year to give up in the draft. They have 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. They have the most ammunition to move up, but they also made no secret that they want a quarterback. So if you're calling the team like the Giants, if I'm the Giants, I'm asking for both ones, one of your seconds, one of your thirds, and your first next year to move up to number two. So then the Giants fleece the Bills, get a ton of picks, and then they can start a rebuild process in New York. If it's the Arizona Cardinals, the Cardinals are going to have to do a lot more than 15 for the Giants to really make that move. So is it going to cost them next 4 years of first-round picks to move from 15 to 2 is a strong possibility.
Yeah, I don't think they're moving to 2. I think they'll wait to see if somebody falls like Rosen, and I think they'll try to get in that 7, 8, or 9 range and do a smaller jump. I think that's more realistic for Arizona. The one thing you mentioned, though, with the Buffalo Bills, they have one of the oldest rosters in the NFL, and they just lost 3 of their 5 starters on the offensive line. I think as much as they want to move up here, they are almost handcuffed now. They can part with some of these picks, but they really need to hold on to some of them too because they have a ton of holes to fill. And I know they went to the playoffs last year, but they lost 3/5 of their offensive line, and they got some old players on the opposite side of the ball. I don't think they're going to move up to 2 because, one, I don't think the Giants really want to move out. I think they'll move up to 5 or 6, possibly, the Bills, if it's a fair deal. But I don't think they're going to get ripped off either because they have so many holes on top of one of the oldest rosters in the league. They have to be careful because if they part with a ton of these picks, yes, they will get their quarterback, but they're going to have nobody in front of them to block, and they're going to have just a mess because they have so many holes right now. That team is I know they went last year to the playoffs for the first time in forever, but that team is really a mess because they lost a ton of guys. And when Richie Incognito retired out of the blue, he really, really hurt them because their offensive line was already bad, and now they lost a third starter that they can't replace right now. So I don't think that that they're going to go up to 2, but I do think they'll try to get up to 5 or 6 if it's a fair deal.
I agree with that to the sense on who's the quarterback they're really going after. Many reports are saying it's Josh Allen. But if Allen's off the board at 1, do they love Rosen enough to move up? I don't think Mayfield's on their radar from everything that has been out there reported. I think that it's Josh Allen and Rosen are the 2 targets they have. But let's say that it's Rosen that's available at 5. Are the Bills really going to shell out that much to Denver to leapfrog really just the Dolphins and block the Cardinals for moving up to get Josh Rosen? I don't know. And I agree with you that the Bills are set up so well in this draft. They can get 6 talented players in the first 65 picks in this draft. But to shell away 3 or 4 of those picks to move up to get a quarterback that's going to compete to start this year, what if that quarterback falls flat on his face? That team is built to be in the playoffs right now. And if you bring a quarterback in that falls and doesn't do well, and you could have had the likes, you know, you could have had the likes of a Derwin James. You could have had the likes of a Roquan Smith potentially, or Tremaine Edmonds, Vita Vea, Mike McGlinchey. You know, you got so many good players that are going to be there at 12. And even at 22, you have the opportunity to get Colt Miller and other really stud football players. The Bills have holes on the offensive line. They have holes at wide receiver. Zay Jones is their number one wide receiver right now.
Yeah. And something else here with the Bills, I don't think, and I might be in the minority, that when they signed A.J. McCarron, he's really not that bad. I think he's a pretty good player. If I'm the Bills, honestly, if they have a chance to slide up to 6, 7, or 8 and grab someone that they like, great, if they don't depart with the farm. But if I'm the Bills, if they just sit put or they try maybe to slide up to late round, or even if they take the pick late round 1 or they try to trade back into late round 1 with a 3rd pick and take someone like Rudolph or Jackson, that's not awful for them either. I mean, They have so many holes. I think with A.J. McCarron's not that bad. I mean, look, he's not great, obviously, but when he has played.
But we also don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But when he has played in Cincinnati at times, you know, he's looked okay. I mean, if I'm them, they might want to take the approach of use these six picks, build up the roster, may have it be a young roster, a strong roster, a, you know, something good, and wait for a quarterback, either take one second round like Rudolph, or maybe trade off a pick or two for some picks next year and make a run at a quarterback next year. That's not the end of the world either. Look, I know it's not my team, so I can say that easily, but that would be something I would be thinking about if I were the Bills, because I think Miami, to bring this right back to the Dolphins, they're in a totally they're not in the same place. They have a guy who's actually played well as a number one quarterback, not well enough in the eyes of some, but he's played well in Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely. So, I again, yes, the Dolphins, I would be 100% okay if they take a quarterback in the first round if it's the right player. If it's the right guy, trade up. If you got nobody sitting at 11, no quarterback, and all the guys are gone within the top 5-6 picks, cool. Sit at 11, see who's on the board, field phone calls, and at the end of the day, if it's a defensive player that's there, or Derwin James and Micah Fitzpatrick, or one of the two outside linebackers, take one of those guys, and everybody will be happy, including myself. If you can land a starting outside linebacker or a starting corner or safety, you can never have too many of these guys in the NFL, and you're going against Tom Brady two times a year. You need to have good corners. We have good corners, but we can always get better.
Okay, and let's talk about now. Let's move past the quarterback spot. Let's assume they don't get one in round one. So now they're looking at a position player of some sort. I talked about this a little this week, and what if a player like Denzel Ward, who's the number one cornerback in this class, is sitting there pick number 11. He's a great player. He can play zone and he can play man. He is just a fantastic player. But you have the Miami Dolphins, who invested a second round pick in Xavien Howard. They invested a third round pick in Cordrea Tankersley. Would you invest another high pick? And this is pretty high, because now you're talking a pick just outside of the top 10, in another cornerback when we have invested so many draft picks in that position recently. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm okay if you can get a player that's gonna truly produce and help this defense get better. I'm perfectly fine with them taking another corner, regardless of how much they spent on them. But it's going to depend, you know, because I believe we have good safeties. Obviously, with Rashad Jones, he's an all-pro safety. T.J. McDonald can be a good safety as well. But you got to think about this, too. They did bring in Kenny Vaccaro for a visit. Could they already have something potentially in place with Kenny Vaccaro to come in and be the free safety on this team? It could be a possibility. So it's going to be telling. We won't know until how the draft plays out, and that's when we're really going to find out how things are going to progress. But with the thought process of another corner, I'm fine with it. I would not have any problems whatsoever doing that.
Yeah. Since it's Ward, I am fine with it as well. If it was somebody else, I might not be, but I really do think that highly of Ward. I like him a lot, and I think he'd be a great fit, and I think he would make Miami's secondary very deep and actually a unit to reckon with. So I think they could be very good then with him and Howard starting. You have Lippitt, you have McCain, you have Tankersley behind them. I mean, that's a very solid unit, not even talking about the safety. So I would be okay with it just because of who it is in Ward. When it comes to the safeties, guys like James and Fitzpatrick, look, I know I've had on some media types on this podcast who say, no, you can't do it. It's a luxury pick. I think they're dead wrong. I think those guys, much like Ward, they would be on the field a lot, and I think they were guys who are just, you know, great players. I think both Fitzpatrick and James are guys who will be in the Pro Bowl year in and year out. What are your thoughts on those two players and if Miami were to land one of them?
I like them both. I like Derwin James a little bit more because he's more of a free safety type football player. And that's a position of need for the Dolphins. So I 100% like him more than Minkah Fitzpatrick, as Fitzpatrick is more of a free safety, in my opinion. He can play corner, he can play in the slot, but I think he's built more to be a strong safety in the NFL. And I don't know if we can invest into a guy like him. Derwin James is more of a free safety where he can be that guy that can roam the field, play up in the box, play at free safety when you have Rashad Jones. You can play him anywhere. Let's leave it at that. Yep. But I would definitely like Derwin James a lot more than Minkah Fitzpatrick at 11. But, again, if you're holding a gun to my head and telling me that it's either Vita Vea or Minkah Fitzpatrick, I'll shell out for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Me too. I'm with you there too. Every day and twice on Sunday. Give me Fitzpatrick. I like them both too. I think I'm the opposite of you. I like Fitzpatrick a little more, but look, they're both great, and I wouldn't complain one bit if we got either one. The next area I want to talk about is one area for the first time in God knows how many years we really haven't talked about the Miami Dolphins as they enter the draft, which is the offensive line. And for good reason, because I think the offensive line, for the most part, has been revamped. We have a new center. We have a new left guard. At right guard, we have a few players who are pretty good and who will fight it out there in camp. Left tackle, we know what we got there. Right tackle, we have James. He could be traded this weekend. I don't think that's out of the realm, but until it happens, we have him at right tackle. So we have a pretty good offensive line right now on paper. That doesn't mean we shouldn't just ignore the position, though. I don't think we should use a pick in round one, obviously, but if the right guy's there, even in round number two, if someone's there like Price or somebody like that, you know, I wouldn't be upset if Miami made the move to grab someone like that, because our offensive line, we've seen it over the years. Some guys get hurt and they just fall. And once one guy falls, it's like a house of cards. The whole unit just falls apart because we have no depth. What are your thoughts on the offensive line? Would you be in favor of, you know, trying to find one guy rounds three or four maybe? And if so, would you be looking more for someone to play the interior or for a backup tackle?
I'd be in the market for a backup tackle, particularly if you know, if you do decide that you want to trade Juwan James to move up to five, if you can work out a deal with Denver, I would be on board if you know that you're going to be able to get a solid tackle in round two or three that can come in and start right away, which, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot, but at the same token, it's you know, Juwan James isn't exactly a world beater when it comes to being a, you know, being an NFL tackle. He's had a lot of injuries. He's good, but he's not elite, and we're paying him a little over $9 million this year. And if you can find someone like Denver who needs a tackle to come in and make that trade, so Miami moves up to five to potentially get their franchise quarterback of the future, go out and grab a tackle later in the draft. Maybe make a trade for another tackle. If you can't land one, that's going to be sufficient. They've got young enough guys in the locker room, like an Eric Smith. Jesse Davis could play tackle. You have guys there that are going to cost a lot less than Juwan James. So I think the picking up of the option and keeping Juwan James right now instead of trading him a while ago to Denver, I think is to see what happens on draft night on that phone call to Denver and say, I have 11, I have your starting right tackle, and I'll give you a fourth.
Yeah.
Move up to five.
Absolutely. And plus that would free up $9 million on the salary cap for the Miami Dolphins as well. And don't think that is not a factor in the least. That is a factor because, like you said, they could always slide over Jesse Davis to right tackle, plug in Ted Larson at right guard. And then, yes, you look rounds three, round four, maybe even round number two. If someone falls there, you can draft either a center guard type or a tackle and, you know, start to move in that area. as you move forward. Because James, he's making $9 million this year. He might be gone next year. He might walk as a free agent, and they might not be able to re-sign him. So his most value to the Miami Dolphins right now might not be on the field in 2018. It might be in using him as a chip to get something you want in this draft. So I do think that is a very real possibility. And talking about another player who could be moved, Devontae Parker, I think it's less. Now, them picking up the fifth-year option means nothing. It means nothing. So if they want to trade him, no team is not going to not accept him because of that fifth-year option, because that can be rescinded at any time. So it means nothing. But he makes so little money this year. I just think, look, I'm not a fan of him. Everybody knows that. But he's making so little money this year, it probably is not worth trading him unless the front office is so soured on him that we just don't even know it. That would be the only reason I think they trade him. But I'd see him getting moved. The other name, which is a total wild card, I know, and I know a lot of fans don't want to hear it, is Wake. Wake, again, he's not getting any younger. He probably won't be on this roster when this team is really good. And if there's a team out there that wants to give Miami a third or maybe even a fourth, again, you would clear up $8 million or so on the cap. They still have plenty of depth at that spot. It would surprise me, but it wouldn't stun me. So what are your thoughts on some of those guys possibly being moved?
Well, the Devontae Parker thing is interesting. Yeah, they did pick it up. His money is only guaranteed if he gets hurt. And unfortunately, he has been hurt quite a bit during his NFL career. So if it's a serious injury, the Dolphins are on the hook. So what we're hoping is on draft day, day two, day three, you're going to call a team up like the Dallas Cowboys. They have a big hole to fill with Dez Bryant no longer there. Would Dallas be willing to part with a third or fourth round pick for Devontae Parker? That's up for debate, but that's a phone call you'd want to make. If you are done with Devontae Parker, you're going to open up the phone line and say, what do you want? What do you want to give me for him? And we'll see if we can work something out. At the same part, just like if you trade Juwan James, you need to replace Devontae Parker with another wide receiver. Because Danny Amendola as well as Albert Wilson are not outside receivers. They are slot guys. They are going to play in the slot, and the Dolphins don't have another outside guy. So they're going to have to go out and get somebody, whether that's in round two, round three, round four. You have to go get somebody. So you have to find the replacement if you're willing to trade a player. So I don't see Parker getting moved. Just because of, I believe mostly because of his injury history. But Cam Wake is another story. Cam Wake, I don't agree that he would be worth a third-round pick due to, A, his age, and, B, he's only got 1 year left on his deal. So, and at that point, he could say, I call it quits, I'm done after this season. So I think he would net out more of like a late, maybe like a fifth, sixth, even a seventh-round pick, or maybe a package of a sixth and a seventh to trade him. And if that's a position that you don't need to look for a replacement because you have enough defensive ends on that team. The other guy that you didn't mention is Andre Branch, and I think Branch would be the most likely candidate to get moved. However, they love Andre Branch in that locker room. They love him work ethic. So I would think that They would trade Cam Wake before they trade Andre Branch, which to me wouldn't make any sense, but I kind of understand the logistics behind it. If you got a team that's willing to give up enough to get one of those players, you have to make you want to make that deal work. So
I think with Branch, I think the problem is nobody wants his contract, and that is going to be tough to move. And it's going to be tough to find a team who will take on his contract. And if they are going to take on that type of contract, they're going to say, we're doing you a favor by taking that off your hands. So we're only going to give you a pick in round six. And then it's really just not worth it at that point, because you can just hold on to him for one more year and then release him next year. So that's why I don't think Branch is going anywhere. The thing with Wake is, if there's a team out there, and you're probably right, he probably is worth a fifth or maybe a fourth. at best. But if there's a team out there who thinks they're close to winning it all, and I'm talking like Minnesota, Jacksonville, throw in Philadelphia if they think, those types of teams who are like really close to winning a Super Bowl, you know what? Someone like Wake would do wonders with them, and it would help them more than it would help any other team. So if one of those teams, if they came calling, I would not be shocked in the least, because if you're close to being a team that can win it all, adding someone like Wake who can only play, you know, so many snaps per game, but will get you 10 and a half sacks a year, 11 and a half sacks a year, something like that, you cannot put a price tag on that. And for those types of teams, he's worth a pick in round 5, or he's worth a pick in round 4 to get someone like that on your roster. That wouldn't shock me. And circling back to Parker, I think his market will be, if anybody does want to trade for him, there are 4 teams who need a wide receiver in the worst way. The worst way. They are San Francisco, they are the Cowboys, the Ravens, and Jacksonville. If he gets traded, and I don't know if he will, he probably won't, but I'm saying if he does, I would bet my life it would be to one of those 4 teams, San Francisco, Jacksonville, Ravens, or Dallas, because every one of those teams need wide receivers so bad right now. To get someone like Parker at only, I think he's making 3.8 this year, something like that, it would be a good value for them. He could probably net Miami a 3rd or a 4th, honestly. That's probably his max value. Probably a 4th, because that's what we traded Landry for and Jay Ajayi for. So I'm guessing that's all you could probably get for him, but something to consider, because yes, if he's gone, you have to replace him, and the only replacements they have right now on the roster at the outside would be Jakeem Grant, who's just way too short. I mean, from T'Vante Parker to Jakeem Grant, it's like the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. It's like total opposites. Or I guess you could maybe hope and pray on Leonte Carew, which I would not hold out any hope for him being anything else. So, yeah, they would have to replace Parker if they did that. Running back, let's talk about running back, because I think this is a team that needs one more running back, honestly. We had on last night Antoine Staley from USA Today. He thinks if the right guy's there in the second round, Miami could draft someone who could possibly even start over Drake. I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I think, look, Frank Gore, everyone loves Frank Gore. It's a great story. He's going to play his final years in the league in Miami. Great story. But he's 35, and you got to protect yourself against that, because right now we have Drake, who the final 5 games last year was amazing. But that one, that's a small sample size. 2, he has an injury history. Miami needs a running back. And second round, maybe if the right guy's there, it might be worth taking a shot. What are your thoughts on the running back spot?
Well, I think there's enough depth in this draft that you can grab someone deep in this draft, you know, later rounds, you know, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. I don't know if you invest one in the 2nd, but you can get guys like a Nick Chubb in the 3rd round. Rashard Penny from San Diego State, you can probably get in the 3rd round. There is enough talent in this draft at running back that you might be able to grab one. But before we jumped on, I saw a very interesting tweet that came out that was actually liked by Kenyon Drake. It involved Saquon Barkley in a story potentially of the Dolphins, if they can't get a quarterback and Barkley keeps slipping and they can jump in front of the Buccaneers maybe to 5 or 6, they could be in the market for taking a guy like Saquon Barkley.
Oh, I'd be all for it. That would be the greatest night of my NFL draft life. If that ever happened, that would be the greatest night of my life, because you pair him back there behind Ryan, and I think I don't care who the quarterback is, because I think he's so good, he can just carry an offense. So I don't care who the quarterback is. Yes, I care, but I mean, I'd be fine if it's still number 17 back there for the next year or 2 or 3, because I think he is the type of player who would be the face of this offense. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to fall past 4, honestly. But if
I don't think he goes past 4.
If it did, oh, my God. Miami, look, screw the quarterback position. Wait till next year. But if they ever got the opportunity to land someone like Saquon Barkley, they cannot pass that up.
No, I completely agree. And just think of the tandem. You can have Saquon Barkley and Kenyon Drake, two very versatile running backs at your disposal on three downs on every single drive that you have. You can package so many different ways to use these players. And it would just absolutely be, like you said, it would be one of the greatest and most shrewd moves of the NFL draft if no quarterback was there and the trade up was to get Saquon Barkley would be just so shrewd. But you land a potential superstar running back there. People have been saying that this kid is the best running back of the last 25 years to come into this draft. And he is being compared to guys like LaDainian Tomlinson and Emmitt Smith. The list goes on of the running backs that he's being compared to. And if this kid is being compared to those players and he stays healthy his career, this could be an amazing scenario for the Dolphins. I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either. Yeah.
I don't see it happening, but it's great to talk about because it is now out there that there's a possibility that the Dolphins, they might have Saquon Barkley as their number one player on their board.
Well, it's so funny, too, because
many other teams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because last Friday afternoon when I was on Sirius XM NFL radio for their mock draft, I'm sitting there at pick number 11, waiting for my shot there to make the pick there for the Miami Dolphins. And everyone expected Saquon Barkley to go, four, maybe even the second pick there to the Giants. He didn't go number two. He didn't go number four. He didn't go number five. He just kept falling. And they finally got to Tampa Bay. And the hosts were like, I can't believe this is happening. So it's like, crazier things have happened. I don't see it happening, but crazier things have happened because last Friday for that mock draft on Sirius XM NFL radio, it did happen where he fell all the way down to pick number seven. The problem is pretty much everybody from pick two down to like eight. Well, I would say, look, it's just not going to happen. So let's not even waste any time on it. Linebacker spot. If Miami does not get a chance to take either Smith or Edmonds, how upset would you be if they took Leighton Vander Esch at pick number 11? And if they don't get one of those two studs at pick number 11, round one, are you thinking they have to draft two linebackers in this draft when it's all said and done?
Yes, and if they take Vander Esch at number 11, I may fly down to Davey and punch Mike Tannenbaum in the nose. there is nothing that tells me that Vander Esch is going to be an elite prospect. He has a high grade. He looks good on tape. He is very good in coverage, but he's not worth the 11th pick. You can trade back into the 20s and pick up multiple picks in this year's draft and probably something in next year's draft. Still be in the 20s if you like Vander Esch that much. And be able to still take him in the late round of round one. He's got a lot of medical red flags that have popped up. His agents are saying it's all BS. But, it's the teams that are looking at him that make the call. The Dolphins may have him as a red flag. They may have already have done that. But if you cannot get a guy such as a Roquan Smith or a Tremaine Edmonds at 11, I would probably say focus your attention on another position at 11. Try to trade back in the first round if you can to pick up extra picks. And at that point, depending on where you are, you're going to have a guy like a Harold Landry still sitting there in the first round most likely. Uchimma Nwosu from USC.
Good job saying that name.
So that is a possibility as well. He's a second-round prospect for sure, but there's an absolute opportunity to get somebody like that as well. When you go a little bit further into this draft and you want to talk about linebackers, Lorenzo Carter from Georgia, he's a teammate of Roquan Smith. He's going to be there in the second, potentially in the third round. Darius Leonard from South Carolina State and Jerome Baker from Ohio State. Those are just prospects I'm throwing out there that are potentially going to be available. when the Dolphins pick in the second, third round. And is there, if they don't get one in round one, do you take two linebackers? 100%. You take an outside linebacker and you take an inside linebacker in this draft, because you traded for Stephon Anthony, who's an outside linebacker. So you have him as one of your backups. If you can grab a starter, that would be great. And then you fill in the spot behind Raekwon McMillan, because we don't know what we have with him yet. But he would definitely be, in my book, a player to take, inside linebacker wise. Kid from Texas is going to be on the board potentially. I can't, for the life of me, can't think of his name.
I know who you mean. Yeah, he's the one who looks like a stud, but he doesn't have the motor all the time. But I know who you mean. He's pretty much the Jordan Phillips of linebackers. That's what he is, essentially. But yes, he's going to be a guy who will be there in the second round, probably, for sure.
Yep.
And also, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but everything we just said about linebacker, you can pretty much say about tight end as well. They might need to come out of this draft with a pair of tight ends. Now, probably not as much as linebacker, but I wouldn't be upset if they used a pick in round three on a tight end, and like later on pick, round six, if there's one sitting there, grab him too, because I have no confidence at all in guys like AJ Derby or Marquise Gray. Marquise Gray, in 2016 was okay. He made some plays in a handful of games, but he's not a guy you want lining up there every week as a number one or number two. And AJ Derby, I mean, he's just a guy. There's nothing there. So they might need to use a couple picks here at tight end. Right? I mean,
I agree with you 100% there. Now, are we going to have the opportunity to draft like a Godert, a Gesicki, Hayden Hurst? I don't know. I mean, they've hosted I believe they hosted Hurst and Godert at the team facility during their 30 visits prior to the draft. Gesicki is a physical freak. I think he would be a great pick in round two if he's still available. Now, the other guys to think about,
Mark Andrews
from Oklahoma. Yeah. He's very good. I think he's going to be at least a third-round pick. But the other guy, he lives in the Dolphins' backyard, and he's a very versatile player. You have to think that Chris Herndon is a guy that the Dolphins have on their radar as maybe a third or fourth round pick. Chris Herndon, being a Hurricanes fan, he's almost 6'4". He weighs 253. He's got tremendous hands. That kid saved the Hurricanes on many occasions this year when they were trying to make some comebacks. He saved them a ton. And I think Chris Herndon would be a very good sleeper pick that not many people are talking about at the tight end position right now.
Yep, and some other guys would be the one kid from Wisconsin with only 9 fingers. I think he's very good. And then you got the kid from Stanford as well. There's a lot of very good tight ends in this class. I think it's one of the better tight end classes we've seen in a while. And if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I would look to add some of these guys. If they can grab one in the second round, great. And then maybe look to add one again with one of their picks in round four, or pick one up here like in round three, then maybe take one again in round four, because since they have multiple picks in round four, I think, they have ignored that spot for so many years. They have to address it. They have to get at least one guy who's, pretty good. And I wouldn't be against trying to find a second guy as well at that spot. As we wrap this up, let's talk about our mock draft we put up earlier this week. For the most part, we're on the same page. Even if it's not the same names, we're on the same page. At one, we had the same pick. At number two, the same pick. At three, we each had the Jets taking a quarterback, just not the same guy, whatever. And then, the rest of the top 10, we pretty much have the same names, just not going in the same spot. But we're on the same page. Where we sort of start to go in a different direction, it starts at about pick 15. As I got the Arizona Cardinals taking Ridley, the wide receiver. You have him going Lamar Jackson. It makes sense, obviously, but we just don't know how the Arizona Cardinals feel about Lamar Jackson. And I think with Ridley, little bit more of a safer pick, and he can be the heir apparent there to Fitzgerald. So that's where we start to differ. But pretty much, I mean, our picks aren't that off. We got most of the same names in here, just not in the same spots, obviously. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was Mason Rudolph. We each have him going round one, late round one. What are your thoughts on Rudolph? And I know some people who like him really like him, and they say he should go late round one. But I've seen and read some other things that he's probably a true second round guy. So what are your thoughts on Rudolph there?
I like the prospect of Rudolph because he's a successful quarterback. He plays in a spread system at Oklahoma State, and not many spread system quarterbacks have panned out well in the NFL. The last Oklahoma State quarterback to come out in the draft and was drafted in the first round was Brandon Weeden, and he sucked. So there's some red flags, with Mason Rudolph. But when you got a team, you had him going to Pittsburgh. I have him going to New England. I don't think that either location is bad for a guy that is going to learn the NFL game. And you got two great quarterbacks to learn from at either of those locations if he is taken by the Steelers or the Patriots. I think Rudolph is a project. Jimmy G was a project, and they sold him off to San Fran for a second-round pick. Jacoby Brissett cost a mid-round pick from the Colts, so they had a starting quarterback last year when Luck was hurt. I take the approach, and I think that both of these teams are – the Patriots do it almost every year. They take a quarterback. So I wouldn't be surprised about Rudolph. I think he's got the intangibles to be successful. He's got the arm. He doesn't have a rocket arm like Josh Allen, but the kid can throw the football, and he's fairly accurate. So I think that he is a round two prospect, but with the way the quarterbacks may potentially fly off the board tomorrow night, I just see that there's going to be another team potentially even trading up into round one to grab Mason Rudolph as a heir apparent quarterback, or at least as a strong number two for many years.
Yep, and the other thing with our mock draft I noticed is we each have a few wide receivers in round one, and I've seen a lot of mock drafts. I have only one wide receiver in round one, which would be Ridley, and I've also seen a lot of mock drafts that have no wide receivers in round one. You and me have a few. So, because I think a lot of these teams really need help at wide receiver bat. As I mentioned before, teams like Jacksonville, the Ravens, the Cowboys, they are so weak at that spot right now. I think all those teams, and since they're also all picking late here in this draft, they could be in the market for one of those guys. So that's the other thing I noticed. And the last thing as we wrap up this show, which will be the main story Thursday night at this draft. And it's not about who's going one or who's going two. The story of this draft will be Lamar Jackson and where he goes and how high he goes. We have him a little different. I think you have him obviously at pick number 15 to Arizona. I had him a little later at pick number 27 to the Saints. I think honestly that probably is the window. Now look, if he went at pick number 11 to Miami or 12 to the Bills, would not be stunned in the least. Would not be stunned in the least. But I think the window we set, you pretty much have the ceiling of that window. I have the floor. That's his range. He's going to go in there. There was a report today that the Panthers like him. There's been reports that Cincinnati likes him. Obviously, you have a team there like the Buffalo Bills twice at pick 22 and 12. What are your thoughts on Jackson? I like him more than most. Let me say that. I think he gets a raw deal here. I like him more than most. But I think, look, he will go for round one. That is for sure. It's just where. So what are some of your thoughts on Jackson?
Let me start off by saying this. The one other team that may even take a look is the Baltimore Ravens at him.
Yep.
It's Ozzie Newsome's last draft. He's going to look to make a big play to finish his career as the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens. And they have no backup quarterback behind Flacco, kind of like how the Dolphins are with Ryan Tannehill. Lamar Jackson on the board, you have a chance to take somebody that could be a heir apparent quarterback that would also be a spot for him to potentially go. I don't know if that'll happen, but be on the lookout for that. Now, regarding Lamar Jackson, I am so sick and tired of everybody from Bill Polian and everybody else saying Lamar Jackson should just play wide receiver because that's where he belongs. That's what he's. That's probably what he'll excel at in the NFL. Listen, he's not Terrell Pryor, okay? Terrell Pryor was a option quarterback in college. He tried to quarterback in the NFL, and he sucked. He's a pretty good wide receiver, and if you ask him to throw the football from a wide receiver reverse to throw it, you got the right guy, you know? It was like the Dolphins taking Pat White, thinking he could be a Wildcat quarterback. Wrong answer. But Lamar Jackson is a quarterback. He played quarterback his entire youth. He played it his entire high school career, and he played it his entire college career. He is a freaking quarterback, folks. And Lamar Jackson is a talented player. He is very, very talented. Is he raw? Yes. He's going to be a project in the NFL. But if you put him in the right system with the right coaches, they can work on his mechanics, and they can work on his vision, his ability to read the field and read a defense. He is going to be a good player in this league. Whether he's going to be a backup quarterback or if he eventually ends up being a starting quarterback, I think he's going to be good because he has the one thing that makes – mobile quarterbacks good is he is lightning fast. Yep. If a play breaks down, he's getting 5, 10, 15. He might even take it to the house. He is that fast. Remember Deshaun Watson against the Bengals last year on Thursday Night Football? I do. He took off when the play broke down and ran 60 yards for a touchdown.
Yep.
That's the kind of player Lamar Jackson is. He is a gamer. He is going to do well in the league. And if the Dolphins take him at 11, I won't be thrilled because they're taking him at 11, but if they move back in the draft to the mid-20s and they take Lamar Jackson in the mid-20s, I'm ecstatic. I like that play.
I'm with you there. If he goes to Miami, and even if they take him at pick number 11, let's say they just sit where they are and take him at pick number 11, at the end of the day, I'm okay with it because I know for them to make that pick, that means head coach Adam Gase, who's a great coach when it comes to that spot. He knows that position as good as anybody. That means he gave that pick his stamp of approval. And if he thinks he can win games with Lamar Jackson in the NFL, then I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. So, look, I won't be happy. I won't be going, thrilled, but I'd be okay with the pick. But I think once Miami's on the clock at pick number 11, I think he could go there. He could go pick number 12 to the Bills. He could go pick number 15 to Arizona, 16 to the Ravens, like you said, 17 to the Chargers. They got to find somebody to put behind Rivers here because he's coming towards the end of the road. He could go 21 to Cincinnati, 22 again to the Bills, 23 to the Patriots, 24 to the Panthers because today there was that report. He could go 27 to the Saints, 28 to Pittsburgh, 29 to Jacksonville. There's a lot of teams who, if they take him in round one, would be, fine with it because they need help at that spot, either as a guy who they can see him being the guy soon or someone to sit behind someone like, Breeze, Roethlisberger, or someone like Rivers to be the guy next. So I'd be okay with it if it was Miami because I think this kid's gotten a raw deal. And plus, he is from South Florida. Not that that really matters or anything, but
you put butts in the seats,
That's not a reason to draft a guy.
His family, his friends, and he was a very good high school football player. He was the top rated quarterback in the state when he was in high school. So I'm all for it. If they pick him at 11, that means that Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and
Rosen,
all the other quarterbacks are gone. Then, okay, maybe that makes sense. But just be prepared because we are, they are the Miami Dolphins. If they make Lamar Jackson the pick in round one, we get crucified. It's the worst move ever. But if the Patriots take him at 23, it's the greatest thing on earth.
Absolutely. And that will wrap up this show. So I will have a show up Thursday night after round one. Not sure if I'll have anyone on with me, but I will be on Thursday night after round one, and we'll talk about what the Miami Dolphins did, if we're mad about it or if we're happy about it. We will share our thoughts about that. So everyone, be on the lookout for that Thursday night after the draft. I will have a new show up. Tom, why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter?
At TErnisse13, TErnisse13. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. I'll be live tweeting tomorrow night during the draft, and as soon as the Dolphins pick is made, I'm pretty sure I'll be throwing up a poll on what you think of the pick.
Yeah. So
it's going to be interesting to see the fans' reaction to the pick tomorrow night, and to see the reaction from the media members and things like that. And personally, if the Dolphins get better tomorrow night with their pick, I'm all for it. If they make the wrong pick, we won't know until the games start getting played. So
true. We won't
take it with a grain of salt right now. That's right. Take it with a grain of salt. If they do draft Vita Vea, I'll pull my hair out.
Yeah, like pretty much. Look, they're sitting at pick number 11. As I've said before, it's pretty tough to screw this up. Not impossible though. If they take a wide receiver, pick number 11. If they took the running back from LSU, great player. Now, I wouldn't touch him at pick number 11. If they did something like that, yeah, I'm going to be upset because I think that's a wasted pick when they have so many holes on this team. But even if they did take Vita Vea, not my first choice at all, but I'll give it a shot. Leighton, yeah. Van Der Esch, that will make me pretty much stomping mad, as I've said all week. That they cannot do that at pick number 11. I know they need linebacker help. Do not make a reach that big and pick him at number 11. Nope. It reminds me when they just ignored the offensive line a few years back and they took Juwan James in round one. He was not a round one player, but because they put themselves in a corner, they had to take one round one, no matter who it was, and it was just a reach and a bad pick. Don't do that again right here with Leighton Van Der Esch. If they do that, I will be so mad. But honestly,
I agree.
Yeah, I am pounding the table for Josh Rosen. Because as I said from the start, out of all these guys, the big four quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Rosen, and Mayfield, he is the only one who can play week one of this upcoming year. He's the only one who's prepared for it. He has all the tools to do that. I'm not saying out of those guys long term, he will be the best. I'm just saying he's the most NFL ready right now. And he's someone who I've seen people talk about him as he's very much like Matt Ryan. And if that's the case, sign me up. We passed on him once, Matt Ryan. Let's not pass on Matt Ryan's clone again, because this kid, I think, is the real deal. Now, we'll see how it goes. Maybe he won't even be there for Miami to take. But if he's there and it's pick number 6 on the clock, that's when Miami has to wake up here and think about making a move. Because I know everybody can knock him for the concussions and the shoulder injury. All that stuff at the end of the day, right now, means very little. Because right now, he's 100% healthy, and it would be the job of the Miami Dolphins staff. Look, any player's one hit away from being quote-unquote injury-prone. He's one big hit away. So I'm not going to hold that against the kid. At the end of the day, this kid, for me, is the guy. Because I think long-term, he's someone who can potentially be great. And the quarterback we have now, we all like. He's a very good player. He's a great person. I think he will max out at just being very good. And very good is tough to win in this league. And if you want to win big, you need someone who can be great. And I think Rosen can be great in this league. So that's my pick. We'll see how it goes. Everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.